What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, socially distancing away from the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. All right, what is this? It's been over a week, right? We're still surviving, yeah. Aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We are. Yesterday was interesting. Matthew and I went out to Target, and there was toilet paper. And I got toilet paper, and I thought it was like gold. It's ridiculous. But it was funny, too, because we got there, and there was literally like five or six, you know, sort of packages of it gone, like literally within 30 seconds of us getting there. We just got lucky and got it. But weird times, bro. Weird times. And, with Matthew home, you have to kind of make sure he gets all of his schoolwork done. And, you know, you've got work to do yourself, and you got to keep yourself from going crazy. So, but I mean, it's all good, brother. We're still working. And a note to everyone out there, we're going to be doing two podcasts this week. So make sure.
A little housekeeping. We're going to do a couple of week, at least for the foreseeable future. They'll be shorter podcasts. We're not going to do the, 45 minutes to an hour. We're going to try to keep them hopefully around half an hour or so, but we'll get them to you hopefully, ideally on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So this being Tuesday, it is our first one of the week, and we'll see you again in a couple of days. We have plenty to talk about. There are news headlines. We'll do our winners and losers from free agency with all the guys who have changed teams so far. So we'll keep you updated on that. But of course, we can't do this without talking to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy Esquire. Murph, how you feeling over there?
I'm all right. Like I kind of said last week, trying to find the pauses and stuff. So, we have, two shows this week and probably going forward, which is fun. Keeps me occupied. We have finding new programs to use so we could all video chat together. You guys got the new microphone. So it's like slowly but surely we're kind of figuring out this whole recording from home during this quarantine thing. And, recording an hour with you guys is an hour less. We have to worry about this whole virus and stuff. And we have some fun here talking NFL football. So, can't beat that.
Exactly.
Absolutely. All right. Let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
We will start with a big one that happened just this morning. In fact, just maybe an hour or so ago before we recorded this thing, the Carolina Panthers have announced they are releasing Cam Newton. We talk about the end of an era in New England with Tom Brady deciding he was going to leave and go to Tampa Bay. This is the end of an era, Fabs, in Carolina. Cam Newton has been the Panthers pretty much since he was drafted by the team. He has been the face of the organization. So he is gone. The Panthers get nothing in return. But I would think, Fabs, for Cam, I can't imagine he's going to be out of work very long.
Yeah, and you mentioned the New England Patriots. Does he fall right in Belichick's lap? I mean, right? They're looking at Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham right now. So the Panthers were never going to get anything for him because right now with the coronavirus situation, you can't do any medical examinations on Cam. And he missed most of last season. So I'm not surprised that they're going to release him, especially after they signed Bridgewater. And now you're looking at where? New England's right at the top of the list. Right? And who else needs a quarterback more than the Patriots at this point out of the teams that are likely to not draft one? So apparently our pal Ian Rappaport had said that the Bears and the Chargers were offered some sort of deals involving Cam. They didn't want him. The Bears traded for Foles. They're probably out. They have Trubisky as well. The Chargers have Tyrod, and they're going to draft a quarterback. Or Justin Herbert. I mean, it's going to be somebody. So they don't really need him either. So I think New England and Cam, match made in heaven, maybe?
I am amazed at the Chargers' willpower, right? Apparently, I mean, I know for a long time now, the talk has been that they love Justin Herbert. That is where they want to go. And if that's the case, look, I admire their staying power with the guys that have popped up on the market. I know they apparently made a run at Tom Brady, and when that didn't happen, I guess they've fallen back to that. But, and look, I love Tyrod. I want to see him succeed. I just, man, like, I feel like if Cam's out there, why not pull the trigger on it? And then still, you can still draft your guy and then see if maybe he takes over for Cam in a couple of years. The Bears, I don't know what the Bears are doing because they missed out on Brady.
And nobody knows what the Bears are doing.
Yeah,
the Bears haven't known what the Bears are doing. They missed out on Mahomes and Watson, and since then it's been all downhill.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're doing. But hey, look, if the Chargers have a plan, good on them for sticking to it. I would have thought maybe they'd make a run at Cam Newton, but who knows? And of course, we will, you know, when he signs somewhere, we'll get you the update on that. We'll get you our, you know, stay tuned either to this podcast, to our respective social handles, because we'll have analysis whenever Cam lands somewhere else. Let's catch up on a few things though, that we didn't get to last week, things that happened after we recorded our podcast. You guys probably know about them, but we'll give you our quick spin on them as well. Todd Gurley was released by the Rams. Not quite 24 hours later, he was signed by the Atlanta Falcons, a one-year deal. $5 million. Fab, this isn't costing the Falcons a whole lot. And if Gurley is healthy and right, they're getting themselves a really quality running back right there.
Yeah, dude, I said that on network last week. I'm like, I think Atlanta's the best fit, but can they afford him because their cap situation isn't the best? Well, they afforded him. And it's a great spot for him because Freeman's gone. Maybe they draft the running back of the future because it's only a one-year deal with Kim, but you would think he's going to be their guy. And as long as his knees can hold up, he's an RB2 at worst, right? I mean, touches are going to be there. He's 25 years old. I mean, I get it with the knees, but he'll get the touches.
He's only 25. I mean, it's funny because the way we've talked about him in the last year or so, you would have thought he's like 35.
You know? Exactly. Yeah.
I did write on NFL.com. I had a little spin on it. My one thought that I think is exciting for him is I feel like going to Atlanta, he will be a bigger part of the passing game than he was last year with the Rams. That was the thing that shocked us all, that they just didn't target him. And I have a feeling maybe in Atlanta, Matt Ryan will throw the ball his way a few more times, which, look, in our now PPR world, that boosts his value. If he's getting, look, he's not going to get, you know, 90 targets, but if he's getting back to, you know, 60, 70 targets, then I feel like, you know, that potential value goes up a little bit. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, no doubt. And I actually just posted my rankings on NFL.com. I tweeted them out. And I have Gurley right there in the middle, sort of as a running back too. He's in the same sort of boat as David Johnson is at this point. I have Gurley at 15 at running back, Johnson at 16. You're right. They're going to give him the football and the offense is going to score points. And if he's involved as a pass catcher, which we all know he can do because he had success with the Rams before last season as a pass catcher, dude, he could end up being maybe not an elite running back, but a pretty damn good RB2. It's all about the knees, man. It's all about the knees.
All about the knees. Absolutely. Another running back news. Melvin Gordon staying in the division. He leaves the Chargers. He goes to the Broncos, signs a 2-year deal there. My immediate takeaway is that this is pretty much a wrap for Royce Freeman in a Broncos uniform. I think he's kind of buried now on that depth chart. If he even stays there, we'll see. Melvin Gordon slides into me as the running back one in that offense, but it's going to, I can't imagine it not being a rotation, fans. I can't imagine Phillip Lindsay not seeing at least a significant kind of workload, even with Melvin Gordon there.
No doubt. They're bringing in Gordon in to start and they're going to use Lindsay. I would think too that Freeman could be on the move. Because I don't know that they need all three. And if all three make the final roster, then forget it. It's going to be a nightmare if you have any one of them. And probably won't have Freeman. I don't think he'll be drafted if he stays with the Broncos. But, I mean, I have Gordon ranked as like a low RB2, high flex for 2020. And, I mean, he's long been a top eight running back. Every single season outside of his rookie year, I mean, he's been really good. So – it's a downgrade. He's one of the guys that we typically expect to have, 1,100 yards on the ground, double digit touchdowns. I mean, I don't see that happening in Denver.
No, I can't imagine that happening in Denver. How do we feel about we haven't really gotten to our full winners and losers yet, but how do we feel about Drew Locke now? I mean, look, they get Melvin Gordon. They've got some young wide receivers. They potentially draft somebody else. I mean, I don't know that Drew Locke is flying off draft boards outside of dynasty leagues, but I mean, is he at least worth a deep league look right now?
Deep league, yeah. No question. It's just the quarterback position is loaded. So a guy like Drew Locke is probably not going to get a whole lot of love in redrafts. I mean, he was okay last season, but he was just a rookie. He's going to have hell if Denver drafts – yeah, like Ruggs or somebody. I mean, imagine the passing game that they could potentially have in Denver with Courtland Sutton, of course, already in tow. But he's a late rounder to me at best. And I guess you could consider him a deep sleeper because if Denver does have a stacked offense, Locke will have an opportunity to put up some decent points. But for me, more of a late round flyer, more of a guy that maybe you're going to utilize in the matchups as a DFS play. But nobody who's going to come in and make, you know, a Mahomesian type of impact, that's for sure.
Right, no doubt. Eric Ebron going to Pittsburgh, signs a 2-year deal with the Steelers there. I think this is a good fit for him. You know, he gets out of Indianapolis where he was sharing the spotlight with Jack Doyle, Vance McDonald. I mean, partially because of the quarterback situation, kind of was a bust last year. I think Fabs, this, he's not going to hit the heights that he did a couple of years ago in Indianapolis, but I think he could be a nice option there in Pittsburgh, especially with Ben Roethlisberger healthy.
Right. I mean, red zone option, right, for Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. and Big Ben's back, as you mentioned. Boy, did you see Big Ben? I mean, he's going, I don't know what look he's going for.
Dude, but it's the Robin Williams and Jumanji look.
I mean, he's like, you know, the just Grizzly Adams going on over there. But so I think part of what is going to determine what Ebron's value will be is what the Steelers do with Vance McDonald, who, like, Vance McDonald is kind of like the new Jared Cook. At least when Jared Cook was playing for, like, the Titans and the Rams, where everyone was like, oh, Vance McDonald's going to have a big year. And then he ended up sucking. So I don't know what they're going to do with him, but you would think that Ebron is going to see more of the red zone opportunities, more of the touchdowns, and that's where he'll be more valuable in fantasy. But, yeah, tight end two type.
We mentioned the Broncos. Emmanuel Sanders, who was a Bronco, then a 49er, is now going to New Orleans. How we feel? I mean, I think it's a nice move. I don't know that I'm suddenly just going nuts for Emmanuel Sanders, but I think it's a nice move. I think it's a better move for the Saints overall than it maybe is for Sanders.
Me too. Yeah, I totally agree. Great move for the value of Drew Brees. And I have Sanders as a wide receiver 4 in fantasy.
That's about right. That sounds about right.
And a lot of people on Twitter were like, oh, he's going to have 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. It's like, did Michael Thomas get hurt? No, they have Traquan. They have Alvin Kamara. I mean, yeah. So, like, it's a nice move for the Saints. Sanders might actually be a really good best ball option because you know that he's going to have, like, a few games where he just has 5 catches, 150 yards, and a touchdown. He just goes crazy in that offense. So I feel like Sanders could be better, maybe better in best ball from a value perspective. And, again, traditional redrafts, I say he's a wide receiver 4. I mean, he played 17 games last year, couldn't get to 1,000 yards. And I get it. The quarterbacks were not that good. But I don't know that he's going to be putting up huge numbers on a regular basis. Wide receiver 4 type, middle to late round pick.
You know, somebody mentioned this on Twitter. I don't know. NFL Research might know this. Did Emmanuel Sanders set a record for most games played in a season last year?
He played 17 games. Yeah, only
he dude played 17 games.
He played 17,
and
right?
And then he went all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So that's got to be, right? What,
three well, postseason games?
Did Randy Moss play in 17 games 1 year? I can't remember because remember he got traded like it was like the Vikings right. or the Titans. I don't remember. But, I Sanders, that's 20 games that he played.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a record.
I would think so.
It has to be.
That's insane.
Because they started off in the divisional round. So if a player played 16 games and then went wild card divisional championship Super Bowl, that's 20 also. So
right. Or if somebody somehow plays 17 games and goes to through the whole wild card gauntlet, which
yeah, right, exactly.
Be 21. Exactly.
Yeah, yep.
Wild. That's wild. Last bit of news, Washington trades for Kyle Allen. You mentioned that the Panthers go out and add PJ Walker from the XFL. Yep. I will admit that I think I watched some XFL football, so I cannot comment on PJ Walker. As for Kyle Allen, good luck with that. I gotta imagine they're gonna draw. Like, they can't just roll with Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen into next year's quarterback, can they?
I wonder if the Redskins would have wanted to go after Cam had they known he was gonna be a free agent before they traded for Allen because of that Rivera Cam tie. I don't know. So that's going to be the big question in the draft. Do the Redskins go with Chase Young or do they take Tua? Because that's going to change everything. The Redskins are in the catbird seat because they can, if they don't want a quarterback and they're going to stick with Haskins, then the Dolphins try and trade up and get Tua at 2. And then the Redskins drop down a little bit. Do the Lions potentially get involved here in a trade if the Redskins go after Chase Young and then the Lions don't really need a quarterback with Stafford there so it's going to be really interesting. But if I'm the Redskins, I'm drafting Tua. Why not? I'm playmaking right now, quarterback who's got a lot of upside.
Right now, they hold so many cards, and there are so many things they can do. I mean, they can trade down and try to stash draft picks. They can get the guy they want. There's so many things they can do right now. Knowing the history of the organization, they'll probably screw it up, but, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens. There you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. Winners and losers. Now that we are through maybe the first real wave of free agency, we're talking about the guys who have moved from one team to another. At some point, Faz, we should do the winners and losers of guys who maybe didn't move, just the ancillary players on those teams and how they affect it. But right now, we'll just do the guys who moved one way or another for the most part. And the first one on our winners list, it's got to be Tom Brady, right? He goes from a place, I know it's weird to say that you leave New England and you end up as the winner, but he goes from having like one pass catcher, one wide receiver in Julian Edelman and I guess James White to just, you have a plethora of riches, El Guapo. Like you have a plethora of friends, El Guapo. Like he's got Chris Godwin. He's got Mike Evans. He's got OJ Howard. They've got Cameron Brate. He's got weapons. It's something he hasn't had for a couple of years up there in New England.
And they might get more in the draft. Like, I mean, Peyton Barber's, you know, a free agent. They got Ronald Jones, nobody else. So like, imagine if they go out and draft a running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield and is a playmaker, which is possible, or another wide receiver. I mean, the sky's the limit for what the Buccaneers potentially could do on the offensive side. And I agree. Brady goes from, if he was in New England, and nothing changed in terms of the weapons, he may not get drafted in 10-team leagues. Now he's a top 10, top 12 quarterback across the board because that offense is very quarterback friendly. We've seen it with Bruce Arians and the quarterbacks that have played for him throughout the years. And Jameis Winston was the QB5 last year. And you know, this is maybe shows a flaw in fantasy scoring when a guy throws 30 freaking picks and he finishes as a top five player in his position. But I mean, you lose 60 points right off the bat there. Right. I mean, exactly. So Brady, if he gives you 4,300 yards and 30 touchdowns, I mean, that's really good. That, dude, like, I'll take that all day long. He's not going to throw 30 picks. He probably wouldn't even get into the double digits. And also think about it. Now, the Buccaneers defense should be better this year. Why? When your quarterback throws 30 interceptions, all right, you're going to be put in places that are going to be hard to succeed in. So the defense should be better, but they did give up 28 points a game last year, and you're going to get in shootouts. You're going to play New Orleans twice a year. You're going to get into shootouts, right? You're going to play Atlanta twice a year. You're going to get into shootouts. You're playing Aaron Rodgers. You're playing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. You're going to get into shootouts. So Brady's value moves up exponentially after that move. It's great for Tom Brady's value, even at 43 years old.
It's funny. I wrote a piece about this for NFL.com as well. And I think I sort of talked myself in circles trying to figure out, because I think for me, the biggest thing is the last few years, Brady has not thrown the ball deep very much. And right now, what we don't know is that because they just didn't have consistent deep options that he trusted, or is it because the arm strength is starting to go away? And I don't think we're really going to know the answer to that until we kind of get into what he's doing in Tampa Bay with this Buccaneers offense. I will say, though, last season, the first 6 weeks of the year, when he had Josh Gordon, who was a legitimate, you know, downfield option, he was averaging about 20 fantasy points per game. After week six, when Gordon wasn't there anymore, that number dropped to about 15 fantasy points per game. So that makes me wonder, having Mike Evans, having Chris Godwin, two guys who can make plays downfield, will that get him closer to the 20 point per game range? I don't know, but I do think I'm sort of with you. I think he is kind of that back end of QB1. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of ways, he sort of takes over for what Philip Rivers used to be, right? That guy that's still on the board in the 9th round, 10th round, you draft him, you feel pretty confident about starting him as your quarterback each and every week. He is the new patron saint of the Church of Wait on a Quarterback.
Right.
That's how
I've got him in that Stafford, so. Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill tier. Carson Wentz, you know, in that area too. That's where he's going to go.
Yeah, there you go. David Johnson, who, look, it's funny. When he was traded to Houston, before we knew who was going back the other way, I was like, hey, this could potentially be a really good move for the Texans. I still think it's a good move for David Johnson because he doesn't have to worry about sharing the ball in the backfield, really. And if he's healthy, I feel like they will find ways to get him the football. So, again, I know Fab, it's a big asterisk about him being healthy and looking like he did in the past. But if he does, I mean, I do think he has the sneaky potential to kind of, I guess, be a sleeper this year.
Opportunity, bro. Opportunity, right? I mean, they've got Duke behind him, but, you know, Duke's not a featured back. David Johnson was brought in to be the guy. Now, keep in mind that in the six games that he played to start last season, he averaged over 20 points a game. He was doing really well. And then the injuries popped up, and suddenly Kenyon Drake is acquired, and that's the end of David Johnson. He's not an old dude. I don't think he's washed up. He is a player who can be utilized as a pass catcher as well, so he's got the versatility. It's all about his health. If David Johnson can stay healthy for 14 games, he's an RB2. Easy. Top tier RB2. Maybe back into the RB1s. Easy. I mean, the Texans traded away their best pass catcher in Nuke Hopkins. So David Johnson could get opportunities and will get opportunities as a pass receiver. And this is an offense that Carlos Hyde had over 1,000 yards rushing. Yeah, if Carlos Hyde can do it, David Johnson can easily do it. It's all about whether or not he stays healthy. He's one of those risk-reward running backs that people are going to draft somewhere, I would say, in the third or fourth round in that same category as a Todd Gurley.
There you go. Stephon Diggs getting out of Minnesota, going to Buffalo. I don't know. I mean, I know we have a push section. I feel like maybe he's a push. Yeah. I don't know. How are we feeling about that?
So I say he's a winner only because he had 94 targets last year. There's no way he's going to have fewer than, I'd say, 115. I think John Brown had about 114 last year. Diggs' targets are going up. They gave up a lot of draft capital to get him. So his targets are going to go up. He's got a big arm quarterback in Josh Allen who's going to look for him deep in the vertical passing game. So he's still a wide receiver too, Marcus. I think he's a little bit more attractive as a wide receiver too now, especially with Minnesota beginning of the year. Like, they weren't throwing him the football. They were running the ball like crazy, and he just wasn't happy there. And sometimes a change of scenery is a good thing for a pro athlete. So I like him as a wide receiver too, more than I did when he was in Minnesota. And the targets are going to go up. The opportunity should go up. So he'll see a slight uptick in value.
All right. Hayden Hurst gets out of Baltimore, where he was in the shadow of Mark Andrews. He goes to Atlanta, taking over for Austin Hooper, who is no longer there. As soon as I saw this trade, I'm like, this is huge. I loved Hayden Hurst. He just wasn't getting the opportunities. Now I think he will get those targets that I was wanting him to get previously.
Yeah, I mean, like, the big joke for the Ravens was, like, they had 100 tight ends. Now it's the Bears who have 100 tight ends. But Hurst, I think 18th or 19th overall pick a couple of years ago. Like, I mean, like, everyone loved him. And he just didn't work out in Baltimore. But now you go to a team that lost Austin Hooper, and Austin Hooper was a top five fantasy tight end who had over 90 targets. I'm not saying Hurst's going to have 90 targets, but the opportunities are going to be there for Hayden Hurst, and he's a good pass catching option. Matt Ryan likes to throw to his tight ends. I mean, we've seen it throughout his career, whether it's been Austin Hooper or Tony Gonzalez. So it's a good fit. He's going to be a tight end too, and he could end up pushing for low tight end one numbers in 2020.
No doubt. On the flip side, the guys who did not make out very well. We talked about Melvin Gordon. I mean, that's Fabs. He's in a bottleneck now. And look, I mean, I know he kind of shared a role with Austin Eckler, but he was for real the lead dog there. This is a lot muddier there in Denver's. This is an absolute downgrade for Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, no, it is. He's typically an RB1. Now he's an RB3. I'd say low end RB2 if you're in bigger leagues, because he's going to get the ball. He'll get the ball near the goal line. But I mean, Lindsay's a playmaker. So, you know, I don't want to really compare it to Cleveland situation because Kareem Hunt is just a phenomenal pass catcher and is going to be utilized a lot in the passing game. And I mean, Melvin Gordon has shown that he could catch the ball in the backfield too. And Lindsay's fine at doing that as well. But these guys have a lot of similarities, right? I mean, like, they're both explosive guys who can take it to the house anytime they touch the football. They're exciting to watch, very fast, elusive. But you have to always wonder, okay, maybe Melvin Gordon gets the first few series and then they bring in Lindsay and then you get down inside the 20. It doesn't matter, you know, who you may want to see out there. Likely Gordon, if it's Lindsey's series, then Lindsey gets the opportunities. And at some point, it's going to drive you insane. And that's why I feel like Gordon is a guy that I could take as a three, as a high three, but that's probably about it. I'm not comfortable starting him like I would have been otherwise in past.
I mean, my other fear there is that one guy just gets hot one game and they just ride that guy. And suddenly, you know, your guy is just sitting on the sideline because he just is not playing quite as well that week. And that that's going to drag. Austin Hooper leaving Atlanta. He goes to Cleveland. I think, you know, we talk about ancillary winners. Baker Mayfield is a big winner in free agency between getting Austin Hooper. They signed Jack Conklin to kind of protect him there. But Hooper, the target share is just not going to be there in Cleveland the way it was in Atlanta. Because David Njoku is still walking around there in Cleveland. We know the wide receivers they have. You mentioned Kareem Hunt. Hooper's just not going to see the ball at the same level. So I feel like he definitely lost out here.
I mean, he was averaging almost 15 fantasy points per game last season, third most in the league. That's never going to happen in Cleveland. You've got OBJ. You've got Jarvis Landry. You've got Njoku and Kareem Hunt, as you mentioned. You've got you do have a coach that likes to run a lot of 12 personnel, which they'll be able to do with Njoku and Hooper. But opportunities are down. If Hooper had stayed in Atlanta, he's a top four tight end, easy, top four. And in Cleveland, I've dropped him down to – he's still a tight end one because the position is scrap at this point. Right. But I have him ranked eighth right now, and there's no – you know, there might be a scenario where I drop him down even further, but he's probably still going to end up being a top 10 tight end. But the ceiling took a massive hit when he went to Cleveland. Yeah, and you mentioned Baker Mayfield, and we could talk about that too on another podcast. One of the big winners and players that didn't change teams for sure.
Yeah, no, he absolutely wins. Other tight ends, Jason Witten going out to the desert, which, you know, I know older folks tend to retire in the desert. It's good for the bones and the joints. For Jason Witten's fantasy value, though, I don't know how great it's going to be. I mean, look, he was I think tight end 11 or 12 last year, which really says more about the position than it did about what Witten did on the field. But I think in Vegas, right, he's just veteran leadership, right? He's just there to mentor guys like Darren Waller, like Moreau. I can't imagine him getting enough time on the field, getting enough snaps or targets to actually make a difference in fantasy.
No, and the Raiders only played 15.8% of their offensive snaps in 12 personnel last year, so they didn't use it very much. Maybe that changes, but yeah, Witten's, he's not draftable at this point, which breaks my heart as a Cowboys fan because I love Jason Witten, and it sucks that he's going to another team, but Blake Jarwin, watch out. He is going to end up being a top 12 tight end. And again, something we could talk about the next podcast. Yeah. Blake Jarwin's value is going up.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that I think a lot of people like. They like his athleticism. It just, he had Witten in his way last year. So that hurt. Although, you know, it's funny because one of the most recent Monday Night Football color analysts is now being coached by a past Monday Night Football color analyst. It's like,
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's how they all connected. The Cowboys gave Jarwin $24 million for 3 years. So, I mean,
wow.
They like him. They're going to use him. Yeah, no doubt.
They're going to use him. Guys who sort of went laterally, I guess, in terms of their opportunities. Nuke Hopkins, the first one. It's a huge name. We talk about ancillary winners. Kyler Murray, obviously a huge winner in this whole deal. But for Nuke, I mean, look, he was the leading target in Houston. I would imagine he probably comes over and ends up being the leading target in Arizona. I mean, look, Fabs, when you were already a top two or three fantasy wideout, there's not much higher you can really go at this point.
I've got him three. I've got MT at one, and I've got Devontae at two, and then Nuke at three. He's going to see 150 targets in the offense. He did last year with Houston. They play fast. They're going to throw the football. Kyler Murray can chuck it downfield. It's going to be – that offense is going to be fun as hell to watch. It's going to be so much fun to watch with the weapons that they have. And, you know, Kenyon Drake signed his transition tag, so he's back in the mix as well. That's going to be a fun offense to watch. And Nuke Hopkins, probably late first rounder, early second rounder in most redrafts.
One we didn't really talk about a whole lot, but Jordan Howard signs with the Miami Dolphins. They need a running back. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to survive with Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the team in rushing again this year. So that means plenty of opportunity. I mean, I like Jordan Howard. I think he's a good running back. I think in this age of guys who have to catch the football in order to be really on the field for like three downs, that's going to hurt him. But I still like the opportunity for him.
Yeah. So I have him as a push because he's going to be exactly in the same scenario in Miami that he was in Philadelphia last year. Mm-hmm. Miami is drafting a running back. There's no way they're not drafting a running back. Okay. Right. Jordan Howard only got a 2-year deal. He's not the future of that backfield. They're going to draft DeAndre Swift. They're going to draft Jonathan Taylor. They're going to draft a running back. I don't know if it's going to be in the first round, but they do have 3 picks. So if they take a back, which they will, you're going to end up having a committee. So last year, everyone was on Miles Sanders, right? Graham loved Miles Sanders.
And I love Miles Sanders too, yeah.
Right. So he didn't really come into his own in fantasy until what happened? Jordan Howard went down. In fact, there was a good stretch of the season where Jordan Howard was more valuable than Miles Sanders. And that was driving people nuts, including us. But when Jordan Howard went down, there was a 4-game stretch late in the season when Jordan Howard had that injury. Miles Sanders averaged almost 20 points a game. So when you come in to this Miami backfield, right now as it stands, Jordan Howard is going to be the starter, but you got to look past the draft. And once Miami drafts a running back, Jordan Howard's no longer guaranteed to be the starter. He could end up being in the same scenario he was last year, where he's splitting time with a younger guy and maybe getting some goal line opportunities. So right now I say he's a flex starter. I think that's probably going to end up being a decreased as we get through the draft and the Dolphins go after that running back in the future.
Last one, Marcus Mariota, who, you know, obviously was sort of pushed out of his job in Tennessee when Ryan Tannehill came in. Now he signs with the Raiders on what is very much a prove it deal, right? It's a pretty low salary with a ton of incentives thrown in there. Are we expecting a quarterback competition coming in Vegas this season between Marcus Mariota and Derek Carr?
Yep. They wouldn't have brought him in otherwise. And remember, Mike Mayock had Marcus Mariota ranked as his number one quarterback the year that he came out. And so he likes him. And Derek Carr, and I love Derek, okay? But Derek Carr, if he goes into a stretch where the Raiders are losing games and he's not playing well, you can't tell me that John Gruden's not going to have a hook that's pretty quick and bring in Mariota and try to spark that offense, because they've got some weapons now, right? That they added Nelson Aguilar. They're going to add weapons through the draft, no question about that. So this is a team that, you know, off on the offensive side of the football, if Derek Carr is not getting it done, Marcus Mariota will be brought in and utilized. And who knows? He could Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, which like Tannehill took over for him last season. Well, who knows?
I think it's funny, though, because I feel like in a lot of ways, Derek Carr and and Marcus Mariota are similar quarterbacks, right? They're guys who don't take a lot of chances. They're very conservative with the football. They don't throw a lot of interceptions, neither one of them, but then they also don't really force a lot of big plays down the field. Maybe the big difference, though, is that Mariota can run a little bit more. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, other than that, I'm not really sure where they go with that.
And if the Raiders add, like, if they get like a CeeDee Lamb, for example, or a Jerry Jeudy in the draft, Renfro was decent last year as a rookie. Tyrell Williams is in the mix. You've got Darren Waller as well. So, hey, what's up?
Hey, we got a co-host here.
What's up?
Everybody say hi, Quentin. Say hi to everybody.
What's up, Q? This show just got 100 times more cute with Q in there. Mariota's not going to get drafted in fantasy leagues, but I'd be shocked if he didn't make starts for the Raiders. Like, he doesn't agree with me. He's like,
yeah, I don't think he agrees with that take. Well, I guess that takes us to what is the end of the show here now. And since we are all social media distancing away, I figured we should like just take this time to kind of talk about some of the things we're doing to kind of help us survive this situation right now. Chatting this thing out. So my first question, at least for this episode, is now that we're all kind of, you know, quarantined at home, what are we watching? Is there anything, movies, TV shows you're binge watching? What are you guys watching right now?
So Anna and I are watching that Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu. I just started watching that Tiger King thing, which Eddie said is awesome. Watched one episode, so I'm watching that Tiger King thing now too.
Okay,
I'm watching because I'm a wrestling fan, and I didn't realize the Dark Side of the Ring. I didn't even know that that was out. So I guess maybe I'm not as good of a wrestling fan, but that is on what network is it? I can't remember, but I have that now on demand, so I've been watching some of that. And like, I always curb your enthusiasm, Eddie. I mean, we could do a whole podcast about how freaking hilarious and great it was. And it was a heartbreaking moment to watch the last episode air on Sunday. But like, I can binge watch the hell out of Curb from season 1 through season 10. and it's tremendous.
Curb was awesome this last season. Yeah, it was a good rebound from the one prior. I mean, you just knew, obviously, a show like that, it's always going to end poorly for Larry David. Also on HBO, I'll recommend. I know people did not like season two as much as season one, but Westworld season three is back with Aaron Paul. Marshawn Lynch is in it. And through the first two episodes, I'll say that it's a lot more, it's easier to understand. And I think the direction they're going for is a lot more exciting than it was the second season. So I was going to say, if you kind of fell off the bandwagon of Westworld, try to get back on for season three. And then, yeah, Tiger King. Netflix is known for their true crime docs, and they have all these like pretty much basic murder mysteries. This one is like the characters themselves. I shouldn't say characters; they're real people. Are absolutely insane. It involves cults. It involves weird relationships. It involves exotic animals like, you know, tigers and lions and craziness.
Bears, oh my!
Bears, yeah, everything. And then yeah, also they sprinkle in a crazy murder. I've never seen anything like it. That's my ringing endorsement of it. It is absolutely wild.
All right. I'm in.
Yeah, I've watched I am on the Westworld train. I haven't watched episode two yet. I may try to do that sometime today, get that in. I've watched a couple episodes of McMillions, which has been really interesting. Yes. About the Monopoly game. Mm-hmm. So I've watched a couple episodes of that. I actually have been going back and starting from episode one, rewatching Better Call Saul, because I hadn't watched season four, and I haven't watched any of this final season.
Yeah.
So I'm going through and watching that. And I just remember how well done it is, but it's also just kind of fun to see and remember all the little Breaking Bad tie-ins that pop up all throughout the show. So that's kind of cool. So I'm definitely doing that. And what we'll probably do is end up watching a couple episodes of the most recent season of Ozark, because the next season of Ozark comes out on Friday.
Yes.
Looking forward. So we'll probably go back and watch maybe the last two or three episodes of season of the most recent season. So that's season two, I guess. So that we can kind of get ready for what's coming with those folks at Ozark. So yeah, I mean, there's plenty. We ain't got anywhere to go. So there's plenty.
I've actually like tried to, because I love horror movies and like that kind of thing. So I've been looking through Netflix for some horror movies. But I mean, some of these things are so bad, like you can't even get through the first 50 minutes. You're like, oh, this is just awful.
I did watch, I rewatched Tomorrow Never Dies. I hadn't seen that movie in a long time.
Oh man,
the Pierce Brosnan. But I forgot that the premise was James Bond fights fake news. Like that's the whole movie. It's kind of corny. It's kind of hokey. But like, you know, for a late night, just I don't want to go to sleep yet sort of watch. It was fun.
It stinks for me. Like I grew up thinking like, oh, Pierce Brosnan is James Bond, not realizing like how many are before him. And then obviously Daniel Craig comes after him. And then you go back and kind of watch all his chunk of movies and you're like, oh, they're all kind of whatever. And like Daniel Craig ends up being in a bunch of really good ones. And I guess now I like changed my brain. Like, no, Pierce Brosnan, despite me thinking that is James Bond, is actually just one of James Bond and probably not one of the top James Bonds.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, Sean Connery, I think, is still the standard, although Daniel Craig's been very good. Yeah. I will admit that my favorite James Bond movie is a Roger Moore movie.
Yeah, Roger Moore, man. That's who I grew up.
Live and Let Die is probably my favorite James Bond movie. I don't pretend that it's the best one, but it's my favorite one. Mm-hmm. I have never seen the George Lazenby movie. I have never actually seen On Her Majesty's Secret Service. I'll have to go find that and dig that up somewhere. I'm sure it's on like Amazon Prime or something.
So I'm sure it's somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I watched, because now you can watch movies at home that are in the theater. I watched The Invisible Man. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It wasn't bad. Not unlike, I think was it Hollow Man? Was that with Kevin Bacon? Remember that one years ago? Uh-huh. And Elizabeth Shue, that was pretty good too. So if you're home and you're bored and you need a movie, that one's pretty decent.
It's great. All those are out on demand. I wish more companies would just start following that suit and just do it.
Well, I think nobody's going to the movie theater now, so you might as well.
Yeah, if this keeps going on, that's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. So, All right. There you go. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you downloading, listening, and watching. If you're watching, as always, you know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, consider a liquid diet, because after three drinks, you won't care what you weigh. Take care of yourselves. We will see you on Thursday.